Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening. It's May 21st, 2023, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, you remember.
Sunday evening. And it's always good to be here. You know, we're grateful that we have this time together, that we can open God's Word. And, you know, we're thankful to Ray Powers for allowing us to be a part of this program, for allowing us to be here on New Visions Radio each and every week.
Yeah, it's a great blessing that Ray does this for us. I don't think we can thank him enough.
Yeah, you know, and I really appreciate that he works hard for this radio station. And also, even at the times that we can't be here, he keeps us on the air.
Right.
So it's really good. You know, we had a little lull a couple of years ago where I had gotten sick and we couldn't be on the air, and he just kept things going for us. It was really good. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope in this ministry.
Again, we're located in Virginia, Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street.
Yes.
If you want to stop by and visit us,
we would love that.
We have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is available on Zoom if you're interested in joining us.
Yep.
And then on Saturday, or what we call Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath, we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then we have a worship hour at 11 a.m.
Yes.
A.m.
And we Zoom also that Sabbath school, and then the worship we stream.
We also stream the Sabbath school.
Yeah,
too.
That's right. Yeah. We stream that as well. And you can find that at prophecyhope.com. Now, if you want to send an email to Ed, how do they reach you, Ed?
You can reach me at at prophecyhope.com.
There you go.
They really go together too well.
That's right. And if you want to contact me, you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, you know, each and every year, we do a Bible prophecy series or some kind of a Bible series, and we're going to do that again this year.
Yeah, September 2023.
September 20 through 23, right?
Yeah.
Of 2023.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of you who have, if you've been listening to us for a long time, we've had Jason Hovey, who was a guest here on the radio program several years ago.
Maybe we could do that again.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Because he'll be here that weekend.
Right, yeah.
Because he's going to come in, I think, on that Thursday, and he'll be with us through the weekend. He's going to be giving two lectures.
Okay, good.
So, you know, and we're looking forward to that. Also, as far as Prophecies of Hope website, if you go there, you'll find a number of sermons or a lot of sermons. You can look them up by topic. You will also find these radio programs archived
right
there. So we go all the way back to, I think, 2014, maybe 2013 on the radio programs. It is
wow.
2013. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But, you know, just again, we love doing this each and every week, and it's a blessing for us, and we hope that it's a blessing for you. Now, one of the things that we're going to do before we begin, last week I mentioned this, and I probably should mention it more often. You know, when we do these Bible studies, we use our Bibles a lot, don't we, Ed?
Yeah.
I mean, we read a lot of texts, especially lately. We've been doing more and more.
That's what you have to do if you want to study the Bible. You have to read it.
That's it. Yeah, we have to read
study
and study the Bible,
yeah.
not another book.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you to open your Bible. If you have a Bible, open it up
yeah.
and follow along with us. And if you have a hard time finding those books, you know, most Bibles are indexed in the front or back. You can find those books easily and put a program on your phone or
yeah,
smart
or your
device.
Computer. I use a computer program for my study.
Yeah.
I use a regular Bible for some personal devotions and stuff. But
And you know, that's the thing. You know, Ed can find these texts really, really fast, because he uses a laptop a lot when he does these studies. And
right.
and you'll hear me. I noticed the other week that my pages
yeah.
get picked up in the mic a little bit.
Oh, that's good. It means it's real.
It is. So
it's not a sound effect. It's real.
No, it's not a sound effect. We don't have any of those here. But so let's get started. We're in the book of Romans,
yes.
and we're going to get Ed, would you open with a word
sure.
of prayer for us?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time we come together to open your word, the Bible, and to actually study it, to look at the words on the page and see what they have to do with us in the life that we live today. Father, as we study your word, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, I know last week we were in Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, why don't we pick up starting with Romans 1:16. I'm just going to read verses 16 and 17. This is the Apostle Paul here speaking. He has been taken to Rome. He is there awaiting trial. And he is basically here preaching the gospel to the Romans, starting in verse 16, the modern King James Version. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Mm-hmm. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
You know, I want to say this. Last week we were talking about I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
And we talked about how sometimes when you first start learning these things, you might be a little reserved about it. But what happens as you learn about it, Ed?
I think your faith increases. You see the how the Bible comes together. You see God working in your own personal life as you strengthen that relationship you have with him and his son, Jesus Christ.
And it makes you want to boldly proclaim the things that you're learning.
Yeah.
And that's what we see in Paul through his ministry. We see that he was very bold.
Yeah, remember, he was a persecutor of the early church.
Yes.
He was putting people in prison and actually putting people to death.
Because of what they believed.
Yeah. And now he's believing and preaching the same thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for just a few.
Yeah.
And it says for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. And so what does this mean to you when you read these two verses, Ed?
Well, to me it means that everyone who desires to have eternal life, to experience that salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it's available for everyone.
Every person.
No church, no denomination, no organization has dibs on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's a great way to put it. And you know, think about this. When it says everyone, you know, we look around. We live in a world that's very judgmental.
Yeah.
And we look around and we say, well, these people this and those people that. But this is saying this is available to everyone. It doesn't mean that everyone receives it.
Or that everyone even wants it.
That's right. But it's there for all to receive.
Right.
Should they choose to do so. And we're going to talk about that extensively, aren't we?
Yes.
And so I just want to warn you up front that some of the things that we talk about maybe today, maybe next week or the following week, can be very offensive. And we're not trying to be polarizing.
Right. Offensive in terms of the world's standards and the world's definition of right and wrong.
Yes. And when we say the world, we're talking about outside of the understanding that the Bible is the Word of God. And I'm assuming that most people that tune in here believe that the Bible is God's word, or maybe they're studying to find out to see if it is. And so if you're studying to find out to see if it is and you're not really sure, hang in there and hear what it has to say before you make a choice.
Don't forget the words of Romans 16, that salvation is for everyone who believes.
Mm.
We're going to talk about some sin issues today.
Yes.
But there's hope, even if you're in that condition.
Absolutely.
The same hope that you and I have, Mark, is for everyone that's listening. No matter what sin issue you're dealing with in your life, we're going to be talking about some specific things here today. It actually includes every type of sin that there is, not just the ones that we're talking about.
Very true. And here's the thing, friends, and I don't know how far we'll get in this particular program, but it's not only going to point out the issues that we have in our lives.
Right.
Each and every one of us have some kind of an issue, right? Every one of us.
Everyone, yes.
But it's also going to show us how we can overcome.
A solution.
That's the important part.
And it's not a Band-Aid, but it's a cure.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, a Band-Aid is just a temporary fix, isn't it? You put a Band-Aid on something, but we need a cure, don't we? So let's get started. Where do we start?
Mark, if you could just read the rest of the chapter from verse 18 to 32.
Okay, so we're in Romans chapter 1.
And if you want to stop any place, that's fine.
Okay, well, you stop me anytime you want to. So beginning in verse 18, this is Romans 1:18, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and charged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 26, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do these things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them."
Wow.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ed, when I read these verses, it sounds like I'm listening to the news.
Yeah.
It really does.
Or social media.
Or social media.
Yeah.
Or watching things on YouTube.
Right.
Or, you know, and so this steps on a lot of toes today. This is not politically correct.
No, it's not.
So how do we deal with this? You know, when we read this, I know that there are some people who, if they're listening, they may be highly offended at these words.
So let me just ask a question
first.
Why do you think Paul is saying these words or writing these words?
Well, it seems like he recognizes that God holds us to a particular standard. And he's trying to help us to overcome these things.
Yeah,
he has to point them out.
Yeah, he's preaching the gospel. And part of the gospel is making people aware of their need for Christ in their life.
Absolutely. You know, when somebody has a sickness, if somebody is diagnosed with cancer, most people would want to know that so that they can make the changes in their life to overcome it.
Right.
Or have the surgery done that needs to get rid of it.
Deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unless something's pointed out to us, we don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
If I'm walking around, I've got a smudge on my face, Ed, I'd want you to say, "Mark, there's a mark on your face." Mark, there's a mark on your face. How do you like that? Yeah. But I want you to tell me, hey, you've got this smudge on your face, so that I can wipe it off.
Right.
I don't want to walk around with that.
Right.
So if we're doing things that are wrong in God's eyes, I want it pointed out to me.
Right. You notice the first part of this section that you read, that Paul is saying there's no excuse for not knowing God.
Hmm.
It says that, let me just start in verse 18.
Sure.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness?
It's the opposite of righteous. It's doing things that are not according to God's standard.
Yeah.
It's unrighteousness is sin.
Yeah, God's standard He's given is the right way to live our lives, and unrighteousness is living the wrong way,
right,
against God's standards.
And the thing is, a lot of people when they read these words, they think, well, this God is so demanding. Look. The laws that are put on the laws on the land, the speed limit, for example, that's not to restrict us. That's for our protection.
Right.
And if everybody does those things, look at how well things operate. When they come to a stop sign, if they stop, that makes everyone safer. If I stop at a stoplight, otherwise we have total chaos. So if God gives me righteous standards and He says, look, this is what's best for you. You will live longer if you do these things. Why wouldn't I want to do them?
Let me give you a bizarre example.
Sure.
We have the law of gravity, right?
Yes, we do.
I mean, I think pretty much everybody's aware of that. So if you're in an airplane and decide, I'm going to jump out and don't have a parachute, what's going to happen?
Yeah, you're going to end up dead.
Well, you may say, that law is not fair. I don't like it.
Well, you have to deal with it, don't you?
Yeah, the same with the law of God.
We have to deal with the consequence of breaking that law.
Yeah.
Or attempting to change it even.
Right. Verse 19, because the things which may be known of God is clearly revealed within them, for God revealed it to them.
Hmm.
This way of living that God desires mankind to live has been revealed to them. For the unseen things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being realized by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. Look around you, Mark.
Hmm.
The world that we live in, the trees, the grass, the flowers,
the birds,
the wind, the rain, the sun, you know, everything. Yeah. God has created through His Son, Jesus Christ.
And it all works together.
Yes.
It all works in harmony with one another, as long as men leave it alone and allow it to do what God created it to do.
So to have some type of excuse that we live in.
Yes. I mean, and that's the thing. I know there are many people who today, they don't believe that anything was created.
Right.
And really what this is saying is, if they think that way, it's really... It's foolishness.
Well, read 21 and 22.
Okay. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So to say there's not, you know, just food for thought here, Ed, to say that, well, I just believe that this just happened. You know, most of us, at least in this country, in the United States, we carry these devices called smartphones.
Right.
And could you imagine if you said to me, hey, Mark, where did you get that nice smartphone you've got there? Well, Ed, you know, believe it or not, this thing just crawled out of the mud. And it was just there. I mean, it just happened. You know, everything that we know has a designer.
Right.
The very clothes on your back, the microphones.
Yes.
And that's what Romans 1 is telling us, that when you look around you.
Four-footed animals and creeping things.
Wow.
Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. They deny His commandments. They deny His way of living.
Do something. He wants us to know who He is. Because He's a God of love.
If you don't believe in God.
Things have deteriorated over the last few years. And what do we see in the world?
And 20 through 28 again.
Sure. This is Romans 1, beginning in verse 26. It says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is sinful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting.
So let me ask you a question here. Paul is telling people, preaching to people, writing to people, saying, these things are not right.
Yeah.
Are these people lost forever?
Well, he's actually asking them to change. So at this point,
you have a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Yes,
that we can go
I do.
To?
Yeah, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because this is so important. I know a lot of people look at Christians as saying, well, they're being judgmental because they're saying that this is wrong and that's wrong. Well, let's face it, there are things in this world that are wrong.
Well, let me ask you a question about this idea, this perception of Christians being judgmental. If I'm driving down the road and there's a bridge out ahead of me, and someone's trying to flag people down saying, don't go there because the bridge is out.
Right.
Is that being judgmental?
No, it's trying to save my life.
Yes.
Potentially, right?
Right.
Because I could drive right off the edge.
Now, there may be people out in the world that condemn sinners without giving them the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's wrong.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But the whole point is showing people what God's standard is and that there's a way to overcome sin in life through this Son of God, Jesus Christ. Can you share that text with us?
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians, now keep in mind that Paul's writing to the church there in Corinth, and you know he had these discussions, he had these conversations, wrote these letters to many people. And if I start here, let's just begin in 1 Corinthians 6. I'm just going to start in verse 9.
Okay.
He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So we were talking about
righteous and unrighteous, right?
So, and then he says, he tells us what this means. He says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And that sounds very judgmental to
a
lot of people.
That's what some of what Paul's talking about in these verses of Romans 1 is sexual orientation.
Yes, he is. And so, but he continues. He doesn't stop here.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And I want to point this out too. Not only does he not stop, but we as human beings have a tendency to look at this list that he has, and we categorize them and say, oh, well, this one's worse than that one.
Right.
And that one's worse than this one. Oh, right. Well, to do this is really bad, but that's not so bad.
Right.
But that he doesn't say that.
No.
Sin is sin.
Yes. It doesn't matter what the sin is.
Right.
The results are the same.
The results are the same. But he continues. Remember, we said not only does he point out the sin, but he's going to give us some hope.
Okay.
Right? Verse 11, after he enumerates all these things, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Wow.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
But we have to look at this for what it actually says instead of what we want it to say.
Yes.
Because so many times, and I'm going to be honest, I've been guilty of this. I'll look at this list and I'll say, yeah, well, Jesus has my back. I'm okay because he forgives me.
So I can do these things and just ask for forgiveness? Is that what you're saying?
That's what a lot of us as Christians believe, unfortunately.
Wow.
But that's not what the Bible's telling me.
Yeah.
So what do we do at this point, Ed? We, you know, I have this sin and I can't seem to shake it. What do I do?
1 John chapter 1. Can we go there?
Sure, let's do that. And I really hope that this is speaking to you because, friends, I don't know of one person that doesn't struggle with something in this life.
And that does not exclude us either.
No, but I'm talking of myself.
Yeah.
I have daily struggles. Daily I have to die and come to Christ.
Let me take you to 1 John chapter 1, and I want to read verses 7 through 9.
Okay.
This is the modern King James Version. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from a couple of sins?
No.
All sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins... Mm. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hmm. So when I look at this text, a couple of things come to mind because there are various backgrounds that we'll be listening.
Right.
So when it says here to confess our sins, this doesn't mean to confess to a man or a preacher or a priest.
Right. Right.
Who do we confess our sins to?
To God.
Yes, through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus is our priest.
Yes.
Right? So we confess our sins through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And I think that part of admitting, you know, I'm just going to say it. There's a group called Alcoholics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
And part of recognizing and overcoming their problem is to admit that I have this problem.
You're not going to be able to deal with the problem unless you can admit that you have a problem.
That's it. So I have to confess, this is what I've done, Lord. And
yeah.
I need help overcoming this.
I can't do it on my own.
I can't. And I think that my problem as the way that I'm built, my personality is such that I want to do it on my own, Ed.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are that way. You've heard me say, if you want something right done right, you got to do it yourself.
It's true, actually. But,
it's unfortunate. Yeah. But you know, there is one that we can rely on, and that's our Heavenly Father.
He's given us the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say this a lot, Mark, and you've heard me say this before. Sin to God is an offense to God because sin is disobedience to God. It's basically
right.
What sin is.
It is.
And He loves His creation so much, He wanted to save them from their sin.
Mm.
The only way that could happen is He sent His Son.
Yes.
The most valued thing in heaven,
mm-hmm.
to this earth to die for our sins.
Right.
So if sin is so offensive to God and requires such a great sacrifice in order to enable us to have the opportunity to have eternal life, does that make sin okay? Jesus came to die for our sins so that we could continue to live in sin?
No, your statement that you made, the way you started that was you said, He wants to save us. You didn't say in our sin.
No.
He wants to save us from our sins.
It's the only way we can be saved.
Yeah. And so somebody might say, "Well, wait a minute. You know, I'm born a sinner. I'm this is just how I'm born."
We are all born sinners. There's no one excluded.
That's right. Every one of us have been born into this condition.
But you know what? Jesus says we can be born again.
Amen to that. And so we need to talk about that. We need to talk about being born again.
We will extensively as we go along. We can do it now too if you want.
No, I think this is leading up to that. So the thing that I want to touch on though, Ed, and I think it's really important that we talk about this, and it might take a little time, and that is, you know, in this world that we live in, we look around. I mean, if I walk down the road and I just did a survey, I would say that probably maybe 30 or 40% of people that are together as couples may not be married.
Right.
And they're living together.
That's sometimes called living in sin, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's what it's called. In fact, we identified that here in 1 Corinthians.
Fornication. Yeah.
And there are people who have relationships outside of their marital arrangement. That's adultery.
Right.
So, and then we have people that, you know, today there's this hard driving push for people to say, "Hey, I want to be whatever gender I want to be, or I want to be able to have relations with whoever I want to have relations
or
with.
or have no gender,
and so, are we not? You know, we were created by God,
male and female,
and God has said this is the best way to live your life, and if you're going to be in my kingdom, this is what's expected.
You know, the Bible predicted this would happen.
It did.
Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21.
Let's look at that. Isaiah 5?
Yeah.
All right. 20 and 21.
Let me read this from the Modern King James.
Sure.
"Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put forth darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those wise in their own eyes and bright in their own sight."
Hmm.
The world has changed right and wrong upside down.
It is. It is. Everything is backward. And so we might say, well, hold on a minute. What you guys are saying, you know, we get that a lot. Yeah. We're reading the Bible here, so we're just telling you what the Bible says.
We didn't write these words on the page.
No, we didn't. We're just reading them. Yeah. some might say, well, what the Bible is saying then is, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm a homosexual,
right?
And they might say, I was born this way.
Right.
I have no choice. That's what a person might say.
God has given us a choice through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's the point. And you might say, well, wait a minute, hold on. Now I'm just gonna lay it all on the table here because the way I grew up, I was taught by my father, I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. I was taught by my father that when somebody has a lifestyle, let's just say a homosexual lifestyle, that's their choice. That's what he told me. He said they have to choose to be that. And I grew up believing that.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, as I study my Bible, I found that, you know, all of us are born into this condition called sin.
Right.
So we're all somehow defective genetically, aren't we? Yeah. I'm defective genetically.
You know, you kind of gave an example of that in terms of alcoholism.
Mm.
Some people are more prone to that.
Absolutely.
Than others.
Sure. Yeah. And there are certain cultures in society that it affects them differently because genetically we're all different.
Right.
So I'm born into this condition of sin. Well, God, what we're reading here is God doesn't leave us there.
Yes.
He doesn't say, okay, you were born that way, now deal with it and overcome it.
Right.
He says, I'm going to give you a way out.
Yeah, he gives us a way to be born again through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus is the way, right?
Yes.
The truth and the life. So here's an example, and this isn't something that I thought of. This is actually, most of you who have listened to the program know Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick, I'm sure he'll be back on the air with us again sometime soon. But, you know, Rick works with a gentleman and he teaches a youth class.
Right. At church.
Yeah. Right. And in that youth class, this topic came up. Well, aren't we born this way?
Uh-huh.
You know, if a person's born as a homosexual, then what choice do they have?
Right.
He used a beautiful illustration, and he said, look, I wasn't born a homosexual. I was born a heterosexual.
Right.
He said, and my desire is not to be with men, but with women.
Right.
That's how I was made.
Yeah.
He said, so would it be okay for me to say, well, I was made this way, so I want to have relations with as many women as I can? Wow.
Outside marriage?
Outside of marriage. Or
even being
even,
married.
Even
and,
being, either way.
Yeah.
You know, God says that a man shall leave his father and mother and be married. It should be a man and a woman.
Right.
Right? One woman, not more than one.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, when people stepped outside of that arrangement, not good things happened.
So if this man has this desire because he was born that way,
right,
does that mean it's the right thing to do?
No, and it doesn't make it okay.
Right.
So he has to be able to overcome.
Right.
So the question comes down to this. It doesn't mean that homosexuality is a worse sin than adultery or fornication or murdering or any of those things.
Lying, stealing, whatever.
It's all sin.
Yeah.
But if I have a propensity to want to lie or cheat or steal or commit adultery, I have to overcome that. And Christ is the one that can help me to do that. He's trying to prepare us for the kingdom of God.
Yes. To make us safe to save.
Yes. That's a beautiful statement.
Yes.
So in order to, you know, why is it that you take lessons, you know, when you get a driver's license, you don't just go and get it.
Right.
There are certain things you have to learn.
The
rules of the road. And you have to respect those rules. And if you don't, what happens?
You
lose your license. Yeah. Well, you have to respect the rules of God's word.
You have to know how the car works, too.
Absolutely.
You can't put your foot on the brake and expect to go.
Well, today you might.
Yeah.
That's what this world is coming to.
Yeah.
Well, I want to push the brake and have my car go faster, and I want to push the gas pedal and have it stop.
Yeah.
That's the world that we're in. Everything is backward.
Yeah.
So, you know, we use these illustrations. They might sound absurd. But this is how the devil is programming people to think.
Right.
And he's programming us to accept and believe, look, we need to love people. We need to treat them with respect. Right. And if a person makes a choice that's even against God's will and against what God's word says, I still need to treat that person humanely and respect them.
Yes, of course.
And I should still, if they need have a need, I should try to meet that need in providing for them what they need.
That person is still was made in the image of God.
Amen. That's right.
You need to understand that it takes a little bit of courage to talk about these things because of the negative feedback one gets.
And I'm sure we will get some negative feedback.
But this is done to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give people hope in their lives that there is a way out of sin in your lives, no matter what that sin
is. No matter what it is. And the only reason that we mention that one is because that seems to be the growing trend that's being really pushed on.
Yes.
That and adultery. And,
yes.
And these things are being pushed on people. And they're being pushed on the children to make these things acceptable.
Right.
And if it starts with the youth, what are they going to do? They're going to raise generations of people who have those thoughts. So if we stick to God's word and how do we put it, follow the rules of the road, it will make everything a much safer place to live.
More enjoyable as well.
Much more enjoyable. And so were you going to take us somewhere else here in Scripture?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about these issues with sexual immorality.
Right.
And there's consequences of that, and the Bible talks about that.
There are.
And I believe in the book of Genesis. Do you have that?
Oh, you're talking about
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Genesis, yeah, we can just give an overview of that. If you ever take the time to read Genesis chapter 19, this was a time in Earth's history when homosexuality and sodomy were just rampant. And it had gotten so bad that God had decided he was going to just, if they didn't want to repent, he was going to wipe them out, and they just wanted to do their own thing. Well, you know, God always seems to, if you are one of his children and you're living up to the light that you have, he's going to make a way out for you.
Amen.
And that's what we're saying here. We have a choice. You know, I can choose to say, you know what, yes, I look at pretty ladies, and they're appealing to my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ and mm-hmm. my wife,
yeah.
right? And that's where my focus is.
Right.
So we have to overcome those things, whatever that desire is.
And it's difficult in this world we live in because the world's promoting the very things that God says don't do.
It's programming us, really.
Yeah.
We're being programmed.
Let's face it, sex sells.
It really does.
Put a pretty woman with little clothes on in an advertisement, it's going to attract people.
And it surely does. You know, I am a man, and believe me, there are times that you're flipping the channels and something, you know, you see an image, and you don't forget that easily.
No.
You know? These things, they say that, you know, and I've heard that people say that they will never forget the first if they are addicted to pornography,
uh-huh.
for example. They don't forget those images.
Yeah.
They're etched in their minds. And so I guess it's kind of like an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have had that taste and once you've experienced that, you can go back there quickly.
Right.
So we have to focus our attention on something else. And it's focusing on Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only way. But back here to this Sodom and Gomorrah situation, you know, it was a time when God just, he wiped them out. He rained fire and brimstone on those who refused to change their ways. And he did. He preserved Lot and his, he was trying to save the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife wanted to look back.
And because she desired the things that she was leaving.
Yeah. And so, you know, friends, I don't know if this, there are things that I love to do in this world. There are
mm-hmm.
things that I enjoy,
yeah.
right? But if I know Jesus is coming, am I going to be looking at him with one eye and kind of trying to look behind me with the other?
Yeah.
And really, I need to be focused on him.
Right. Can I share a few verses in 2 Peter?
Please. Because it refers to this.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
And I'm going to, 2 Peter.
Okay.
Chapter 2. I'm going to read three verses, verses 4 through 6. And again, this is the modern King James Version.
Okay.
Verse 4. For if God did not spare sinning angels, but thrust them down into Tartarus, and deliver them into chains of darkness, being reserved to judgment, and he did not spare the old world, but save Noah, the eighth one, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, setting an example to men intending to live ungodly.
Let me ask you a question, Ed. When I read this, and I think most of us are very familiar with this account of Noah and the ark. I think most Christians would be very familiar with that.
Right.
Did God give them a way out?
Yes.
And what was that?
He said, you know, I'm going to build this, have Noah build this ark. Mm-hmm. If you want to be saved from the flood, you know, come on to this ark.
Be on the ark. So he made a way out.
But Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
That's what it said right here.
He was condemning unrighteousness, the way of life these people were living in.
And many of them probably did not like his message.
That's right.
But was it a life-saving message?
It would have been if they would have believed it.
Yeah, the message was life-saving for sure.
Not only believe it, but acted on it.
That's the key, isn't it? In other words, to say I believe, well, the Bible tells us that the demons believe.
Yeah.
But what are they doing? What does the lifestyle show?
Right.
So if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, what's my lifestyle going to look like?
Yes.
Am I going to be doing these things that we just read about in 1 Corinthians? Or am I going to allow Christ to justify me, to sanctify me?
I made a few religious T-shirts.
Yeah, I love those.
Bible verses on them. When I put them on and I behave differently as a Christian,
wow,
what am I doing for my witness?
Oh, yeah.
See this shirt and I don't act like a Christian. What is that doing for the purpose of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ?
But see, Ed, this is what happens today. So many people profess to be Christian, but they're living in a way that's not. And Christ is calling us to a higher calling.
Yes.
And literally and figuratively,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I just caught that, yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So he's saying, look, I'm giving you a way to overcome. And when we get to the true gospel, the Christ in you part, you will see so clearly, if you don't understand this now, those of you who are tuning in, if you don't understand, you're saying, "What? But how does that work? How does it work?" As we read through Romans, it's really going to come together for you that he does not just say, okay, you have to do this. You have to overcome, and you're doing it on your own.
You know, Paul is real about life.
Yes, he is.
And we'll get to that eventually. Real about the challenges we have in this life, the temptations and the difficulty overcoming sin.
Yeah.
Let me share what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3.
All right. Philippians chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verses 8 through 14.
I'm there.
It says, but no, rather, I also count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them to be dung, so that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, to me being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I'm pressing on, if I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Jesus Christ. My brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm not claiming to be perfect.
Right.
But I'm forgetting those things that were important once in my life, realizing what is really important in my life, and pressing on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes, and he's saying that Christ hasn't left me here.
Right.
Right? And that's what you were showing us in 2 Peter, because God gave Noah and his family and anybody else who wanted to take part could have escaped the destruction of the world.
The same with Lot and his family.
The same with Lot.
And Sodom and Gomorrah.
The same today.
Yes.
When Christ comes back, he's giving us a way out. And again, it took action on their part. They couldn't remain where they were.
It took faith.
It took faith. And the point is, you know, if I was living in Noah's day and I wanted to be saved, then I had to move from where I was and move to be on that ark. If I want salvation today, then I have to move from where I am in my life and move to be a follower of Christ.
Let's be honest. What we're talking about can be scary.
It is.
If I change the way I'm living my life now, I may lose people that are important in my life.
You might be ridiculed.
My friends, my family.
Right.
And who knows, it may affect my job.
That's so true.
It affects a lot of areas of your life.
You know, it reminds me of a text, and I think it's in Mark chapter 9. Let me make sure. Because this is a text, I didn't have to memorize it, but I know that, it's in Mark chapter 10.
Okay.
Many years ago, Ed, I'll just share this. Some of you have probably heard me share it. I had come to a knowledge that God had required something of me that I wasn't willing to do.
Right.
And, you know, all of my life, I've grew up in a Christian home, but I had a different understanding of what the Bible said than what I do today.
Was that requirement for your benefit or just to be mean?
All of God's requirements are for our benefit, okay. Although at first it might not look that way.
Right.
And I'll tell you what it was. It was the fourth commandment about the Sabbath.
Okay.
And I have a business. And in that business, it's not just my lifestyle that's affected, but there are employees that work there.
Right.
And if I'm going to close my business on that day, it's going to affect their life as well, particularly on the Saturday, the biblical Sabbath, because when you're in the automotive business, most people, when do they take their car to get fixed? It's usually on the weekend,
yeah.
On a Saturday. Okay. Let's face it. That was our busiest, most profitable, number one day. I mean, we make sometimes more money on that day than we would the other 5 days of the week. So I knew that my family thought that I was a nut because I was talking to them about the Sabbath and I was trying to share it. So one night, in the middle of the night, I woke up. It was about 2:30 in the morning. And this Bible that I'm holding, you all can't see it, but it is ripped up and torn. It was laying on my nightstand, and that's where I keep it most of the time. And not now because it's so torn up, but I woke up, and for some reason I had been praying the night before that God would help me to make this decision for him. I want to do the right thing. And I didn't ask for my will to be done. When I opened my Bible, I don't recommend a study like this, but Ed, when I opened it up, it plopped open right here to Mark chapter 10, that page. Oh. You can see it.
Yeah.
And my eyes went right to the top of the page. And I looked at the account, and I knew the account, so I didn't have to read it. But for context, I'm going to back up, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses, if that's okay. It says, if I start, this is talking about taking up the cross and following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me.
Right.
And they were talking about a rich man entering the kingdom of God. And Jesus makes the statement, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so they were greatly astonished in verse 26, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, this is what you were just saying, Ed.
Right.
With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Then Peter began to say to him, Lord, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children or lands with persecutions. He doesn't leave that out, does he?
Yeah.
And in the age to come, eternal life. So Jesus is he's being real with them. Just
yes.
like you said, Paul gets real later
yeah.
on, doesn't he? But Jesus is real. He's saying, look, this is costly.
Yes.
It will cost you right now, today.
Yes.
You're going to pay a price for this. But the reward far outweighs it.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, I am a testament to that. Because once I made that decision, when I read this text, I went into my office across the hall from our bedroom, and I got on my knees at it, and I prayed the prayer, and I told God, I can't do this. I can't, but I'm claiming the promise that you made, that you will get me through this.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he did. I made the decision that night in prayer to close my business on the Sabbath. And when I did, I'll share that story another time, but the rewards far outweighed. We do more business now in 5 days than we ever did in six.
Yeah.
How can I can't explain. That wasn't anything that I did.
Right.
I didn't do some advertising campaign. There was nothing I did other than just I threw it on our Heavenly Father.
Right.
And I said, you made this promise to me. Now, let's see if you're good for it.
Yeah.
Really, I mean,
right.
we can talk to God like that
yes.
and say, Father, I need help.
Yeah.
You've made this promise. Hold up your end. But you know what I had to do? I had to hold up my end of the
yeah.
bargain. And that's what the Bible is telling us. That's what the gospel is. If we allow Christ in, if we receive him, he will help us to overcome.
Yes.
And he'll help us to do it. I didn't mean to take up so
no,
much
no,
time
no.
with that.
That's fine.
But I just, it's this is my personal testimony,
right.
and this event and this topic that we're talking about of the gospel and the topic of the Sabbath changed my life more than anything in my life.
So it was really about, again, being obedient to God.
It's just that simple. You know, life is so much better if I just do the things according to what God's word says.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about it, Ed. If we just pick any commandment, it doesn't matter which one, what would the world be like if people didn't steal?
Yeah.
Let's just use that one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to put a lock on my door. I wouldn't need lock boxes. We wouldn't have to have passwords on our accounts and on our, I mean, how much does that change in how we operate right. daily?
Yeah, you know, just thinking financially, it'd be a lot cheaper to own things and
yes.
to have insurance and da-da-da.
Prices
yeah.
would come down.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be insurance. If I didn't lie, there wouldn't be insurance fraud, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to worry about, well, is my neighbor telling me the truth or is he eyeballing my wife? You see?
Yeah.
And if he's not, if he's telling me the truth and he says, well, you know, I am eyeballing your wife, but since I don't commit adultery, don't worry about a thing. Well,
yeah.
look at how many problems we've solved already just
yeah.
with three commandments.
Yeah.
So it's just God knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
And he's given us the owner's manual right here.
Right.
We have it in his word.
You know, men have a reputation of trying to put a piece of furniture together or fix a car and then run into problems. And then they look at the repair manual or the instruction manual to put something together.
Guilty. That's me. That's me. I always tell me, oh, I don't need those instructions. I know what I'm doing.
I was working with a friend of ours, Doug.
Yep.
And I was putting a piece of furniture together. And I said, these instructions are wrong.
Come to find out that one little piece had a use, didn't it?
He goes, come on, Ed, let's look at it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, and I think we're all built that way,
yeah.
you know. Yeah. Well, I think I can get around this, and we try to find ways around doing what God asks
yeah.
of us. I'm guilty of that.
Right.
It's sad to say, but it's true. My nature is that almost every day I have to remind myself, I got to stay in line with what God's asking me.
Start out your day in the Word of God.
Amen.
In prayer with him. Maybe asking for, what do you want me to do today?
And Ed, is there anything that you can't ask for? I mean,
no.
Can you ask for wisdom?
Sure.
Can you ask for faith?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you ask for the power to overcome whatever it is that's in my life?
Most definitely.
Yeah. These are things we should be praying for. So I know we didn't get far, and I took up too much time with this testimony.
No.
But, you know, friends, this is real.
Real life, yeah.
This is real. And we might look at it and say, you know, some people say, oh, you're living in a fantasy world. Well, examine your life today. Evaluate your life. Go ahead, Ed.
Take time to be honest with God. Take time to talk to God and be honest and look what's in your heart.
Yes.
God knows what's there already. Maybe it's you're the one that needs to be honest about what's in there.
That's the problem, is I'm not always honest with myself.
Yeah, and see how it lines up to the God's word.
Amen. So, you know, I just a plea to you to give God's word a chance.
Yes.
You know, just because it's talking, it's stepping on our toes a little bit. It steps on my toes.
Yeah.
And when it does, let's not discount it because, well, I disagree with that, or, you know, I just think that that's not quite right. Hang in there, and let's go through this book of Romans together. And you'll see some amazing things and transformations.
You'll see the love of God, even though the world says that's not a loving God.
Yes. And see, that's exactly where the adversary wants us.
Yeah.
He wants us to think those things. And friends, we're bombarded today more than ever. We're bombarded by things that are opposed to the Word of God.
Yes.
But give it a chance. You know, it's been a life changer for me.
Yes.
It has completely turned my life around. And, you know, it's funny because I grew up in a Christian home, Ed, but knowing the true gospel made a huge difference.
Gives you hope, gives you faith.
It really does. I can't believe we're out of time.
Yes.
But, friends, we hope you come back next week and study with us some more. We're going to pick up again in Romans chapter 1. We're going to talk more about some of these things and how we can overcome them.
Right.
But in the meantime, we have to close with prayer.
Right.
All right, so let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, for this, the words of life in your Bible. And we just ask that those of us who are listening, that we're here together, that we will consider some of these things, that we won't discount it, that we will accept the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, that we may cry, Abba, Father. And Father, we just ask for you to be with us through this new week, and we just pray a blessing upon us until we come together again. And we ask for forgiveness for the times that we sin against you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for leading this study. Again, I took a lot of your time.
No, that's fine.
But we'll pick up next week here in Romans chapter 1. And friends, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.